Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Whole Scoop Radio with your host, Carol Ferraci, your health and wellness resource, where you get the whole scoop and nothing but the scoop.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. We are The Whole Scoop Radio, health and wellness, where our guests are always highly credentialed in their fields. The goal of this program, as always, is to present you with different, sometimes opposite, perspectives to allow you to make informed decisions for your own health choices. I'm your host, Carol Ferraci, a registered licensed dietitian practicing for over 30 years and the founder of Naturally Nutrition. You can check me out at www.naturallynutritioninc.com. Again, it's important for me to provide you highly qualified guests on a variety of topics in order to promote your own health and wellness. Tonight's show is very cool. It's Essential Oils, Myth, Magic, or the Real Deal. So let me just do the business here. Let me remind you that while our guests are highly credentialed on the topics of discussion, it's always recommended to seek medical advice prior to implementing any and all interventions discussed on the program. Call-in number is 347-855-8894. You can also direct comments and questions to us on our Facebook Blog Talk Radio group page. Again, the number is 347-855-8894. We will be taking questions later on in the show, and I will be calling out the last four digits of your telephone number. If you are calling in with a question, please remember to press the number 1 in order to become part of the queue. So when you do that, then I know that you actually have a question. So all that being said, I'm so excited. Let me tell you who we have tonight. We have just an amazing, amazing guest. She is Doreen Peterson. She is the founder, president, CEO, and principal of the American College of Healthcare Sciences. She has over 35 years of clinical teaching and lecturing experience in aromatherapy and other holistic health subjects. She has presented papers on essential oils and clinical aromatherapy at the International Federation of Essential Oils and Aroma Trades annual conference in California, the Aroma Environment Association of Japan in Tokyo, the Asian Aroma Ingredients Congress and Expo in Bali, Indonesia, the International Center of Advanced Aromatherapy at the Wonsan Digital University in Seoul, Korea, as well as the AAIC Expo in Kunming, Yunnan, China. Doreen currently serves as chair of the Aromatherapy Registration Council, and she also is active with the Distance Education Accrediting Commission. She recently, now this is very cool, she recently completed a trip to the Forest Environment Workers Union in Kathmandu to train union members on essential oil distillation, strategic marketing, and high-quality production skills, which has more than 10,000 members, including approximately 4,000 youth who work with medicinal herbs, aromatic oils, and plumbing, among other tasks. Greater development of the aromatic essential oil production could make a significant contribution to poverty reduction efforts by providing the youth with skilled job opportunities. How cool is that? So with that being said, let's bring her on. Doreen, are you with us?
Hi, Carol. I'm with you. How are you?
I'm great. I'm fabulous. Thank you so much for being here tonight. What fabulous things you're doing. I mean, that was just amazing. I can't even imagine how rewarding that must have been for you.
Well, thank you, Carol. And firstly, let me just say thank you so much for inviting me on the show. I know it's taken us a while to connect, and I'm really glad you persevered. Hi to all the listeners out there. Nepal was an amazingly rewarding experience. I think I learned so much, and it was truly wonderful to be working with groups of farmers who were just so dedicated to making a great end product. A lot of those farmers were women, which was also really a great experience for me.
Wow. That's a whole different show. I mean, we should just do a show just on that. That's amazing. But tonight, our show is on essential oils, and I picked this name for a reason, Myth, Magic, or the Real Deal, because I believe that there are a lot of people out there who know about or have heard about essential oils but don't really know what they are. They see them maybe in some stores that they're in, and they just go, huh. Or the flip side of that is they know somebody who uses them, but then they don't know what to do with them themselves, and they're afraid of them, you know, they're kind of missing out on a lot. And so maybe we could just start with, what are essential oils and where do they come from? And then we'll just kind of talk about why they're around.
Well, that's a good place to start. And I really like your title, Myth, Magic, and what was the third thing? Myth, Magic, and Reality?
Or the Real Deal. Yeah.
Or the Real Deal, right. So, I mean, I truly believe there is some myth, some magic, and definitely they're the real deal. An essential oil basically is distilled, which is an incredibly magical process, or they may also be expressed, depending on the plant. So most of your citrus oils are expressed. And they come from a variety of different parts of various plants. So maybe the root, in the case of vetiver, maybe the seed, in the case of coriander, maybe the leaf, in the case of peppermint. If you're looking at rose and jasmine, that's from the flower. So it just depends on the part of the plant. And it's always one single plant species. So you would not typically mix different plants together and then distill them. Usually the blending of essential oils is done after the fact. There are also interesting volatile aromatics called absolutes. And I mentioned jasmine essential oil. It's called an essential oil, but really it's an absolute. It's one plant, and there are numerous plants actually, that don't release their aromatic molecules to steam. And the only way to extract that is via a solvent. And so they are called absolutes. While they're technically not an essential oil, they're still extremely valuable in aromatherapy.
Hmm. Wow. So all of that being said, And the processes that are necessary to actually obtain an essential oil, why do we want an essential oil? What is the benefit of an essential oil? Why do we do all this?
Good question. Well, I mean, you know, the first thing is smell great, let's face it. And, you know, nice smells are have a phenomenal effect on our life. Inhaling an essential oil has a significant effect on brain activity. Research has been shown that both the sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system are involved. I mean, the minute you smell an essential oil, this amazing sort of ricochet effect takes place. The molecules are absorbed through an amazing process in the nasal mucosa. Even when you taste something that might have an essential oil in it, the same process occurs because you are actually inhaling at the same time. And eventually those molecules end up interacting with the limbic system in the brain, which is where all of our memories are stored. So they have an incredible influence on unlocking memories, and sometimes they can be both good and bad, but also there's a physiological action. So what's interesting about an essential oil is they have the ability, and very few things, in fact, I can't really think of anything else, does this in the wellness sector. They affect the physiological and the psychological at the same time. So it's this wonderful simultaneous reaction. So while there's this cascade of, you know, in the neuroendocrine system, there's all these neurotransmitters and neuromodulators cascading through the body when you inhale essential oil, there's also this unlocking of memories, which can be a really powerful and positive experience.
You know, I don't think I ever realized that they had a combined effect physiologically and psychologically together. I mean, that's pretty much astounding right there. No wonder there are so many positive things that occur when you're using essential oils. I can't think of anything else that does that. That's amazing. I just never really put that together. Thank you.
I'd love to find something else that does that, but you know, this is just such a simple. It's a great way to affect both things at the same time.
And you know, the thing that you said too was that within seconds, you can feel or notice a difference of some sort. And so then the question becomes, you don't need a lot of these. They're very potent. But at the same time, how is someone, let's just kind of break it down a little bit. If I'm brand new to essential oils and I wanted to try it, say, for some kind of chronic condition, or just because I like the way they smell, should I use some caution? Should I be cautious? Should I attempt to do something? How should I proceed?
Good question. Really good question. Because, Carol, you mentioned two things in your question. If you're just looking to use essential oils for wellness, which is really my advice, that's the place to start. You know, wellness is about what we do every day. And wellness is, it's a process, it's a practice. So if you can just include a few essential oils into your daily life, into your daily wellness protocols, it can be as simple as, you know, instead of spraying your kitchen counter with a chemical cleaner, you can use a little white vinegar and lavender oil and wipe your counter with that. While you're performing your housework for the day, you're also inhaling lavender and experiencing a wellness benefit. When you mentioned a chronic issue that you might want to use essential oils for, anything chronic, I always recommend you definitely seek professional advice. And if you were choosing to go the aromatic essential oil therapy route, which I do feel is a wonderful adjunct to other treatments you may want to be using, that's when I recommend that you seek the advice of a registered aromatherapist. That's somebody who's been trained in the safe use of essential oils, and it's just a whole different ballpark.
Well, it's funny that you say that, because I think it's important to make the point that essential oils are versatile. You can use them. I think some people equate essential oils simply with relaxation, like lavender. But the truth of the matter is that there are some real medicinal properties to lavender, and you may, in following your advice, if you have something going on, you may very well find that the practitioner you're working with will tell you to use lavender for certain situations. And you may be surprised by that, but then you kind of get a double benefit. And that double benefit is, not only will it work for whatever it is that your practitioner might be telling you about, but it also enhances your ability to kind of chill out and relax, because lavender is a well-known relaxant. Would you agree with that?
To some extent, I'd agree with that, Carol. I mean, yeah, lavender is a well-known relaxant. That's a fact. I mean, research has shown us that. I mean, there's a number of studies that have been published that support that particularly support its use for insomnia. They've not only shown that lavender reduces the time it takes to fall asleep, it actually improves sleep quality, and they've been able to show this by looking at the decreased rapid eye movement and also looking at the, you know, the slow wave sleep brain waves that occur when somebody's sleeping. So there's some pretty good research to support that. So that's the first thing. But just to add a little bit of a chink into that, you know, essential oils are also very individualized. So the real key to finding an essential oil or working with a registered aromatherapist, essential oil practitioner, is finding someone who will work with you as an individual, and also realizing that what is going to be good for your friend Susie might not necessarily be good for you. Let me give you an example. Remember at the beginning of the show, I said to you that essential oils act pretty much immediately on the limbic system. So they unlock memories that are stored around the first time that you smelt that fragrance. And for you, smelling lavender for the first time may not have been a good experience. You know, say you were a little girl, you had a grandma, you loved going to her house, she had a lot of precious things in her drawers, you loved looking through her drawers, and in her drawers were a lot of lavender bags, so whenever you opened one of her drawers, your memory was of the wonderful aroma of dried lavender. But you know what? She told you you weren't allowed to look in her drawers. But, you know, every now and again you kind of sneak to peek and you're in there, and one day she catches you and she growls at you. And your body went into flight and fight, and you had, you know, a reaction that your limbic system remembers. And so potentially lavender for you could actually be more stressful. So, you know, you hear some people say, well, I don't know, I tried lavender and it didn't work. And usually I put that down to two reasons. The first reason, I try and, you know, really kind of help them get back to the time when they first may have smelled it. And it may be that, oh, yeah, you know, my grandma growled at me, you know. But that's a reason to just probably find something else. And there are plenty of other oils that provide that wonderful relaxation experience. Chamomile is a good one. Lang Lang is a great oil for relaxation. But the other reason, too, is there are many different varieties of lavender. So when you choose an essential oil, whether you're just going into the health food store and picking out one off the shelf, or whether you are receiving one from your practitioner, or, you know, however you find it, you want to be absolutely sure it is the right, you know, the correct plant. So the two types of lavender you mainly see out there in the marketplace, one is Lavendula angustifolia, that's the Latin name, and the other one is something called Lavendin, and its Latin name is Lavendula intermedia. Now, that particular plant, Lavendin, has a substance in it called camphor at a much higher level than the lavender angustifolia. And camphor is a stimulant. So that oil is never going to act as a sedative. So, you know, there's a few pitfalls in there, but it's a wonderful journey to learn and to, you know, to just keep exploring. And don't, you know, what I would really caution listeners is if you try an oil and you feel like, I don't know, it didn't kind of work. I don't know, aromatherapy doesn't work for me, or, you know, those sort of feelings, try something else, because it may be that for you, your initial experience with that essential oil, and you may not even remember it, was not a positive one.
That is incredible. I mean, talk about mixing the physiological with the psychological. It's just, I mean, that is like, before you could even begin to put it together, it just hits you, and that's what happens. It's amazing. It's an excellent example. Thank you so much for that. That being said, though, if you are that person, and you're right, maybe you should try another. At what point, you know, it's so, even for myself, and I've taken a lot of classes on this, and I've done a lot of research with these, and I use them constantly, and I do clean with essential oils, and I do use them for health issues myself, and for others. But at the same time, though, you know what? Even me, after all of that, when I'm looking at something and I'm trying to research, I have to be very careful for that exact reason. I mean, the differences in plants in terms of their appropriate names, the genus and species of the plant is absolutely essential. But how would someone know the difference? How would they not just pick up lavandin versus lavanjula? And how would, you know, they could get a completely different reaction from just those two diverse situations. So how is it that they would know, or what can they do to try to shield themselves from that when they're just standing in a health food store going, you know, I think I'm going to try this, or, you know, and not everybody has access to a practitioner, or not everyone can just call a practitioner and say, hey, should I get this, or what should I do? Maybe they're just out with somebody who says, I heard about this and I want to try it. What is there anything that they can do to try to make an informed decision?
Good question. Firstly, you know, there's not too many plants that put you in that sort of dilemma of like, oh, here's two bottles called lavender with two different Latin names, you know, which one do
sure.
I choose? But in the example of lavender, you know, first of all, I think it's really important to be a label reader. I mean, no matter if it's the food you're eating, you know, if it's food, you know, in a packet or a can or whatever, or, you know, whatever's in your bottle, read the label. Take the time to read the label. I know that can make shopping kind of a slow process, but it can also make it fun. And I think if you read the label and notice that, huh, these two don't seem to be the same thing, you know, what's different about them? Hopefully there is a informed shop attendant there who can really help you. And I mean, this is something that we do here at the American College of Healthcare Sciences. We train a variety of programs that train retailers, and you know, definitely that can help to really, you know, ask the questions. I think if you don't get help in that way, a good place to start is, you know, a good aromatherapy book out of the library, or, you know, Google, you know, Rabbi Google can tell us pretty much everything. So, I mean, I think there are resources out there, but it's that thing of not doing the sort of impulsive buy, even though, you know, you might just think, ha, I'm going to try this. It is worth researching a little bit first, because essential oils, you don't just want to buy them, stick them on your shelf. You want to buy them and really use them, because they are such incredibly wonderful products.
And you know, your point is very well taken. I think that is really what I was looking for. Let's make that point real clearly. It is not something that you should impulsively buy. It is something that you should do a little research. A little homework goes a long way. It's like I usually say to people, just because it works for one person doesn't necessarily mean it's best for you. So do the research to see what really sticks out for you, and what you know, that the whole point is for you to be to obtain the benefit from whatever it is that you're using. And that's true about everything we talk about on this show. It's about a benefit for you as an individual, and that's why we do so many of these different kinds of programs, so that you can make informed decisions. And this is one way where you can make an informed decision based on some of the research that you do before you actually go out and impulsively buy. So I think that's a fabulous point. Thank you for making it. Maybe we can just give them some ideas, because I'm feeling like there might be some people out there going, yeah, but what would I? Okay, maybe maybe lavender is good, but what would you use it for? What are some of the uses that, say, for just some everyday kind of first aid kind of things, would you use an essential oil? Could you pick up an essential oil for something? And please let me just preface this whole question with, of course, you want to make sure that you seek the advice of a practitioner prior to doing so. But I just want to throw out some examples for what some of these things can be used for, so that people have a better idea of the versatility of the essential oil.
Yeah, great question. And, something like lavender, I mean, let's just keep focusing on that. You talked about its sedative effect, and I mentioned its great effect with sleep and insomnia. But it's also a wonderful antiseptic and antibacterial, and it can deodorize. I mean, it's interesting. You don't think of it for that reason. But so if you have a situation where maybe you have, say, for example, a scrape on your, say you've fallen over and you have a scrape on your leg, you could get some boiled water, cool it. You could add, at about a 1% dilution, 2% dilution. So say you had about a cup of essential oil, you might want to put a cup of water, you might want to put 1 to 2 drops of essential oil in it. You take some sterile gauze and you could clean the scrape. That's a great first aid use of an essential oil. And if you didn't have any lavender, tea tree would be a wonderful oil for that use as well. So you could use either the New Zealand tea tree, which is Leptospermum scoparium. It's a slightly different plant than the Australian one. But you could also use the Australian, which is the Melaleuca, which most people know. So there's a couple of different oils. In fact, there's quite a few oils. Most oils have antiseptic, antibacterial potential. You could also add your essential oils into your morning body wash. So say you have, a fragrance-free shower gel, you can add a blend of essential oils in there that can be energizing. So not necessarily a first aid use, but definitely a wellness protocol that you can do every day. You could add some, stimulating essential oils like peppermint, like rosemary. These oils are really going to, activate the nervous system, really set you up for the day and really help you, maybe even... You can only have one cup of coffee instead of two, that kind of energy. So there's just so much you can do with essential oils that I would just recommend that listeners just start with, you can even start with 5. I mean, if you started with peppermint, lavender, I particularly like those two tea trees I recommended. Because they're like mixed together, they're like a broad spectrum antiseptic. And I really love Lang Lang just because it's a very languid, exotic, floral, very beautiful floral. And I really love Neroli. Neroli is from a bitter orange flower, and it's just the most wonderful, uplifting fragrance, and very, very effective for these, here in Portland anyway, these long grey, rainy days where spring never seems to want to come. So that's a wonderful oil to have on hand.
I'm in Florida, so I wouldn't I wouldn't be able to relate to that one, but you know, we could certainly get into some other ones during different areas, different times of the year. But those are great oils to get started with, and I think that's important that people just, instead of becoming overwhelmed with all the choices out there, choose five, and those are great. Tea tree is fabulous. You know, I use tea tree for when I have I use it for a lot of different things, but one of the things that I use tea tree for immediately is when I have a mosquito bite or something that is itching. The tea tree just kind of takes it right out, and it's a natural antiseptic, so it does a double bang for me. I don't know if you've used it for that.
I have, actually, and it's really interesting that you should mention that, because it's a good introduction to the concept of blending, because mm-hmm. tea tree is great as an antiseptic, as you mentioned, and then if you want to add something that is sort of calming and sedating, adding, you know, a little lavender, a little neroli. Neroli and lavender both contain a constituent called linyl acetate. It's an ester, and it's known as a very effective anti-inflammatory. So, you know, you could just add equal amounts of those three oils to an empty bottle and have a really good anti-itch remedy.
That's great. Now, as far as the amount of oil to use, a very small amount goes a long way, correct?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, it isn't just in America that people think, you know, more the better. You know, I mean, if people think something is good for them, pretty much worldwide, they want to take more of it in you know, one sitting. And but this is a great example of less is better. So almost like homeopathy, you know, where you take a very, well, homeopathy is even more less, if this is such a correct word, but you know what I mean. It's minute amounts, whereas with essential oils, it's the same thing. They're incredibly powerful. Using them to excess really can have very negative effects. They, you know, some oils can be quite dangerous. So, you know, that's why I mentioned those five oils. They're all relatively safe. But there's, you know, a number of things that can occur if you use too much. So when I'm talking small amounts, I'm talking, you know, 1 to 5 drops. And most essential oil bottles are going to come with what we call an orifice reducer. So that helps you drop the essential oil quite carefully from the bottle. Of course, if you're diffusing an oil, which is really a great way to use essential oils around the house, I think diffusing is by far not only the easiest, but one of the most effective ways to administer an essential oil, because they've shown that inhaling essential oils is the fastest way for the essential oil constituents to enter your bloodstream. So it's a really great way to not only make, you know, your immediate surroundings smell great, but you're really, you know, having the wellness factor there. So diffusing is a great way. And so there, you know, the quantity is not quite as critical. But for example, if you're using essential oils in the bath, or if you're making a body product, or if you are, you know, doing something that's got to directly be, you know, applied to your body, you want to be careful with your quantity.
Let's kind of take that for a second. There are absolutely different ways to administer essential oils, and I appreciate the fact that you brought up diffusing. But can we talk about the different ways of administering the essential oils and the differences of what that means? I'm going to go off the premise of people aren't even sure what we're talking about when we talk about diffusing versus not. And I'm not trying to insult anyone. I'm just trying to make sure that you have all the information that you need in case somebody's a little confused, and that's okay because there's a lot to learn here. So, there's never a time to learn not to learn more. So, so there's diffusing. You can do it just by itself. You can mix it with a carrier oil, right? So how and why and where and all that stuff, when would it be a good time to do those kinds of things, or how would you know, maybe think about it? I mean, you're cleaning, you use something different. Let's just kind of, if you don't mind, maybe go through some of the different techniques of administering or utilizing the essential oils in different manners.
Yeah, great question. And you know, I'm a great believer, particularly being in education, there's never a stupid question, right? So, I mean, always learning. I love that you said that. Diffusing is basically, really, to understand diffusing, the most important thing is to realize an essential oil is volatile. And what I mean by volatile is the minute you take the cap off your essential oil bottle, you're going to smell that essential oil. You don't have to stick your nose right down in it. You don't have to, tip it out. And the reason that you can smell it right away is that the molecules are already, the aromatic molecules that are in that liquid are already, if you could imagine in your mind, they're like balloons shooting out of that liquid, and each balloon is just crammed full of great smells. So, you know, that is what volatile means, and it's unique to an essential oil. It's unique to all essential oils. If you think of a carrier oil, it just, like, you know, sweet almond or sesame or any of the oils, it just does not do the same thing. That volatility is not there. So diffusing really is working with the nature of the essential oil itself. And there are various types of diffusers. You know, there are, you know, electric ones that, you know, provide a little heat, and when the molecules heat up, they start bouncing off. You can even go real low tech. There's little terracotta light rings you can put over a living room or bedroom lamp with a little water and put your essential oil in that. There, the light bulb heats it. There is higher tech still with like a USB diffuser. You can pop a little USB diffuser into your computer. Great if you're studying or in your home office. So there are a variety of diffusers out there on the market. There are some, larger devices. There's a great ultrasonic diffuser, which uses a wonderful cold mist technology. I really like those because, you know, heat does affect the aromatic material. And basically the bubbles, as they come, those sonic bubbles, as they come out of the diffuser, are coated with the essential oil, which then release into the atmosphere. So that's a great way to do a larger room. So diffusing is just one way, though, as you mentioned. I mean, other ways to use essential oils, you can put them in the bath. There are some safety concerns when you use essential oils in the bath. Not all essential oils are suitable for the bath. A good example is cinnamon. You just would never want to put cinnamon in the bath. It burns when it goes on your skin. Most oils, particularly if you're what we call a highly sensitive person, so if you already exhibit you know, allergies, and if you tend to be reactive to other products, you might want to do what's called a skin patch test with an essential oil. And, you know, it's pretty recommended if you're going to use an essential oil on a longer term basis. For example, make a blend for your shower gel in the morning. You might want to do a skin patch test with those oils. So the bath is a good way. If you live in a studio apartment and don't have a bath, another nice thing to do is just get a big bowl and make yourself a foot bath or even a hand bath. You can soak your hands in warm water with essential oils. Wonderful if you have, you know, the start of arthritis or, you know, aches and pains in your hands and feet. Wonderful just relaxing. So some oregano oil, just a tiny amount. Oregano, again, is another strong oil. You just want to use a couple of drops. Great way to relax. Now, with an oil like that, also it's good to put it with something that's going to help it mix with the water. Whenever you add an essential oil to water, we all know that oil and water don't mix. So you want to add something that is going to help that mixing occur. So something like a full fat milk is a great thing to put in your bath. You can, you know, do the whole Cleopatra experience. And you can even put that into a hand or foot bath. So you just, you know, think half a cup of milk. You can even put a little water in with it, add your essential oils into that, run the bath, get it all ready. Take your clothes off, get ready to step in, and then add your essential oils at the very end, because the minute you add them, they're going to start evaporating into the atmosphere. And you want to make sure you're in the bath when you do that. So you add your mixture, give it a good swish around, and then enjoy the relaxing soak in the bath. So, you know, bathing is a great way. But again, if you don't have a bath, use the foot bath or the hand bath or the shower. You can also mix essential oils into, as you said, carrier oils. And a carrier oil too, you can choose a specific carrier oil that has wellness benefits. So, you know, for example, peanut oil is said to be very good. And of course, not if you have a peanut allergy, but peanut oil is said to be very good for aches and pains. You have some other oils, base oils, that provide other benefits. So take a look at that too. It's good to study base oils and really think about what you're trying to achieve. And, of course, some base oils absorb better than others. I particularly love camellia oil. I'm just in love with camellia oil. It's from the seed of the Camellia sinensis plant, which is the same plant that makes tea, the tea that we drink. And it's a very fine oil. And when I say fine, it's just light. It's absorbed very easily and quickly, but it is very moisturizing and nourishing. So it's a great oil if you want to apply an oil with an essential oil in it and then put your clothes on, for example. Because sometimes, you know, carrier oils are just too greasy and you can't get dressed or you have to wipe them off. You can also do compresses with essential oils. You can do a hot or cold compress. So again, when I talked about the abrasion of peppermint oil, if you have, for example, a bruise or a sprain or a blister or, you know, just an aching area, you can boil some water, cool it down, add your essential oils, get a nice clean piece of gauze or cotton. Soak it in the mixture, wring it out, you know, just enough so it's not dripping, apply it, put a dry cloth over the top to keep the warmth in, and that is a compress. Now, sometimes a cold compress is more effective if you have swelling and, you know, sometimes a cold is So just depending on the issue, you can do hot or cold. That's another great way to use an essential oil. There's a lot of controversy out there about the oral use of essential oils, so whether you should actually take them orally or not. There's really not many clinical or wellness instances where you would want to take an essential oil internally. There are numerous safety issues involved with that, and so it really is something that, you know, really, registered aromatherapists and, you know, experienced clinical aromatherapists would want to, use as a protocol.
There's a lot we could follow up on that. I want to remind everybody, if you want to ask a question, press the number one, and it's okay if you don't. But if you do, press the number one so that you get in the queue for questions. We do have we had some questions come in before the show, actually. I don't know whether people are joining us, not joining us, which is fine. The show is you can archive it later if you want to share this information with people, because this is fabulous information. But I need to just kind of remind everybody that you're listening to The Whole Scoop Radio on Blog Talk Radio. We're talking with Doreen Peterson. She is just a fabulous, fabulous essential oil expert. I'm learning a lot tonight. Thank you very much. She's with the American College of Healthcare Sciences. You can find her at www.achs.edu. And again, you can find me at www.naturallynutritioninc.com. The number to call in, everybody, if you haven't gotten it already, you probably do, 347-855-8894. I'm checking the Facebook pages, and I'm seeing people. I'm getting texts from people that are listening, but no one's actually asking questions. Maybe these are the same people that asked the questions earlier. So maybe we should hit a couple of questions. What do you think?
Absolutely.
Okay, so here's one. It says, I am told that too much of an essential oil can be harmful. I have had a toenail fungus for which nothing has worked. I'm afraid to try the essential oil recommended, which she puts in parentheses, Melrose, for fear I might use too much. How much is too much? I'm not sure anybody can really answer that definitively, but what do you think?
What was the name of the oil that was recommended?
Melrose.
Melrose?
Yes. That's what's typed here.
I don't know what that essential oil is. I have never. Do you? Have you heard of that, Carol? Because you use essential oils, right?
Yeah. I think that comes out. I think that's a specific blend to a particular company. I think that particular oil comes out of. I think they actually recommend that it's for wound healing, if I remember correctly. I'm not sure I would use it on a nail fungus, but I would have to look at all the ingredients in it, and I don't think I have any here to even tell you what the ingredients are. As you can hear, I'm kind of shuffling.
I see that it is a proprietary blend, but I did find what's in it. And so great question. Thank you for asking. What's in it is Melaleuca, which is your Australian tea tree, Nayuli, which is another Australian tree, another Melaleuca actually, which is also a great antiseptic antifungal, rosemary and clove. So that is a very nice blend. I think that would be most effective for nail fungus. Now, what you have to be careful with, however, is clove particularly is a very powerful essential oil. But if you're going to use it for nail fungus, what I would recommend is, you know, if it was me, I would probably apply it direct, but I say that with the preface, if it was myself. What I would recommend if you were my client was to get the boiled water, get a bowl, take about boiled water in your bowl and add about 10 drops of the blend and soak your feet in that. And I would do it twice a day if you have the time. If you don't, just do it in the evening, maybe when you're watching TV or something like that. Relax with your feet in that. And I would do that religiously, and I think you'll find that that will be very effective.
So that was – I just want to recap that because in case anybody else needs it, you said cold water, 10 drops of Melrose.
Well, I would first of all boil the water and let it cool.
Okay.
So you don't want it cold, but it like a lukewarm water. Add it to that. About five cups and about you could do like 5 to 10 drops.
Okay. And then they just soak in that. Very cool. Okay, so now we know. I didn't remember exactly what was in Melrose, and so thank you. Thank you for looking that up. Okay, so we have that. That was great. I'm sorry.
You're welcome. I learned something.
Yeah, I've been learning all night. This is a great experience. Thank you. Let's see. There's another one here. Now, here's one. Can you use essential oils on pets, and are they harmful?
Oh, this is a great question. And you know what? I am not an expert at this by any means, and there are more cautions surrounding pets than people. So I would definitely recommend to really find out precisely, you know, what oils you intend to use. It's different for every animal. I do know cats, there are numerous cautions for cats in essential oils because they cannot metabolize the essential oils like humans can. But I'd love to invite all of your listeners tonight to attend a webinar we're having here, which I believe is tomorrow. Let me just get the information for you. And it's on exactly this topic. Essential oils. Yeah, essential oils and pets. And it's one of our graduates. She's an expert in this. It's essential oils and animal safety. And it is on tomorrow, and that specific time, let me just get it for you. And maybe, Carol, what I could do is send you the URL for people to sign up for it.
Absolutely. We'll put it on the blog page, and we'll put it out on the Whole Scoop page, and that way people can sign up from there.
Yeah, because that's a great question, because it is definitely a more specific subject.
If you don't mind, I'm going to just add one other thing to that. Animals in particular have a higher sense of smell than we do, and we just spent a lot of time talking about how powerful the oils are. So when we're saying to use, when Doreen's saying to use 1 to 5 drops on something because less is more, it's even more true with a pet. I know that, and I know for myself, I have three dogs, and I use essential oils on them to thwart off fleas and ticks. But I don't ever do it with whole strength or full strength oils. They're always diluted. So, and there are recipes out there for that, but you really have to be very careful when you're using it on pets. So I'm looking forward to the webinar. I'm going to learn some more tomorrow. So that's great.
Well, Carol, if I can just add, the webinar is normally $99, but I just quickly contacted our communication specialist here, and she gave me a code, which I'd like to give to your listeners and to you. So when you register, if you just use this code, it will be complimentary. And so the code is WholeScoop17, so WHOLESCOOP17.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for that. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Wow.
You're welcome.
That is just fabulous. Wow. Thank you. Okay. I think we are running out of time. See, I told you this was going to happen.
I know.
I think we have a couple more questions. I'm going to see if they kind of combine, if we can, let's see here. Okay, I think we talked about the reputable sources and how to find that. I think there's a question here about how to find reputable sources. So I think we covered that one. And I think we actually covered this one. Can essential oils be used in conjunction with other therapies? I think you started to touch on that. I think you might have mentioned a sentence or two on that.
If I could just expand on that, both good questions.
Sure.
I don't think I really covered sourcing oils. Just quickly on that, I'm a great believer in certified organic. That's one of the things I was doing in Nepal, was really helping farmers understand, how the process to become certified organic and just the benefits of that. I trained in New Zealand as a naturopath, and one of the things I learned pretty quick was sometimes your results are only as good as the quality of the remedy that you're using. And so having a, great essential oil, pesticide-free, without any additives or diluents, is really important. So always just, check with your supplier, buy from a good health food store, really trust who you're working with. Those are important things. Ask questions. As far as can you use it with other remedies, absolutely. Essential oils are a great adjunct. Having said that, if you are, again, going back to the word chronic, again, if you're using an essential oil and you're currently using medication for a chronic situation, you would want to ask your healthcare provider if there is any possibility of a contraindication. There are some essential oils that do interact with certain pharmaceuticals, so it is a very good question to ask.
Great. And with that, we are pretty much out of time already. Did I promise you it was going to go fast?
You did, and it really did. I could probably talk for another hour or more.
Yeah, you and me both. I know, it's amazing. And every time I do these shows, I say the same thing. I think people are probably tired of me saying that at the end of pretty much every show. But I can't thank you enough, and I'm just going to put it right out there, because I can tell by the kinds of questions we've gotten, and now people are actually texting me while we're talking too, going, I want more information on this, or I need to. So if you're willing to come back, I would love to have you.
Well, absolutely. I'd love to come back, Carol. Thank you so much for inviting me on the show. I've really enjoyed it. Thanks to all the listeners. And and I'm available, as you said, at achs.edu, and we're also on Facebook, so just drop me a message if you want to chat.
Absolutely. We'll do that, and I hope people will take advantage of your most generous offer for the webinar tomorrow. Thank you again for that. Thank you for your time. You've enlightened, I think, all of us tonight. Thank you. And with that being said, our next show will be on the 27th, and Dr. Bump is coming back, and he's going to do a three-part series with us, but we're going to start with the autoimmune system in terms of, those chronic illnesses that you get, and your doctor says, oh, yeah, it's an autoimmune response. So we're going to explain that, we're going to talk about it, and then we're going to do a couple of different series on it. So join us then. And I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight. It was kind of a quiet show tonight in terms of the phone calls, but all is good because thank you for blogging in those questions earlier. And we will be here in 2 weeks. And Doreen, we're looking forward to having you back. And so everybody,
thanks.
I'm going to say good night. Thank you. Okay, good night.
Good night.